likes to touch himself. Dracula hates the Welsh. They're the two weirdest guys near ya. So come and bask in their power for about an hour. It's Atomic Disaster Theater.
Elitism, the bane of mankind. We're human beings. We're flawed. We're desperate creatures. We're beautiful that way. We want better for ourselves. Not only do we want better, we want the best. And isn't that something else? People will often say, and I've said this before, people say that the difference between mankind and animals is that, oh, we think with our brains, and we plan, and we're just so much more complex. We're so much more advanced than your typical, orangutan. I disagree. I think the difference between human beings and animals is that humans refuse to be satisfied. We do not like satisfaction. We do not like being content. We always want more. We always want better. We always want the best. This is a good thing in a lot of ways. I mean, if everybody had the work ethic and the ambition level of Dave, we'd still be in caves. Maybe. We'd just now in 2022 be living in caves and just not dying where we were born. Literally, like on the spot, like you're born and you just kind of just lay on your back looking up at the sun until you just dry out. That's kind of my level of enthusiasm for the human condition. But then again, I'm trapped in this body. But what I mean to say is, somebody help me, I'm on my back and I can't get up, and the best. Animals don't give a fuck about nothing. Look, think about a lion. Let's take the tippy top of the food chain, the T-Rex of the Sahara, as it's known to you marine biologists out there. Take a lion. That's as good as it gets, right? Let's say if you could pick an animal to be a lion, a lot of people would pick a lion. They're the absolute top of the food, king of the jungle, right? And that's important. And that's good. Now think of a lion. If you were to sit down with a lion and say, Mr. Lion, or Mrs., I don't want to misgender you, lion thing. Well, first, if you could claw your pronouns into the dirt, that would be helpful. What? You're ripping my intestines out. I see. All right. Well, this is a short conversation. But let's say you lived the, let's just say, organ rearrangement process. And you could talk to the lion as it's no doubt devouring you. And you could say, Lion, could you tell me before I go, what's a great day for you? Like, what's the absolute best kind of day? And the lion would, you know, maybe think about it for a minute or so as it was chewing on your gizzards. And it would say, well, like, if I eat shit like I'm doing now, if I'm doing this, like devouring someone alive, that's pretty cool. That's great. And if I fuck, that's pretty awesome. So like if I eat, maybe find a pond of some kind, you know? And then maybe not like a nice tree. I could lay in the shade. As I digest you, that would be cool. That's pretty much as good as it gets for me. And then, you know, you'd meet your maker, I suppose. But that's the difference, friends. Because if I asked you what's the best possible day, I couldn't hear the answer because I have to go to work in a couple of days. All right? So I think that is the difference. Animals, the beasts of the field, are content with their lives. And that's good. Good for us anyway. I mean, I am so glad that I'm going to be dead way, way, way before a rhino thinks, you know what? I'd kind of like a laptop because they will rule the earth, right? It's like the first animal to want more than to live and pee and poo is probably going to fuck up everything. It is going to mess up your world. So let's hope that day never comes, because look at how we do. Look at all the messed up things we want. We want the best, and animals just want to survive. That, my friends, in this reporter's humble opinion anyway, is the difference between that little, you know, lizard brain monkey soul you got inside you and a fucking chameleon, I don't know. But as humans, not only do we want shit, but we want the best shit. We want elite shit. Why do we want elite shit? You may ask. Is it because it's better? Is it because it's more comfortable? Is it because it's more convenient? Absolutely fucking not. Because we have Instagram pages. And we have to buy the tippy top thing and then shove it in everybody's motherfucking face because they're poor, worthless sacks of crap. Hmm? You know you just got rock hard hearing that because you're like, yeah, fuck everybody. That's what we live for. I remember on the day I was born, I was like, I can't wait to start showing shit off. Unfortunately, I never got that. But you might have. And that's what makes us human. That's the thing. That's the key difference. And if you ask me, Dave, you are just dropping too many truth bombs and it's getting a little irradiated out here. I got you. I know. But my story has a point. My story has an apex. It has a reason to exist. We need the elite thing. We need the end-all, be-all, whatever the fuck it is. If we have a 50-inch television, you're nothing. You don't even exist. If you have a 50-inch television, I don't even have that. I actually braved the elements and went outside the other day and was looking at like TVs, and I saw like a 75-inch TV, and I was like, this is... I didn't even know 75 inches was a thing. I didn't even know inches got that long. It was, I couldn't believe it. My mind was blown. I had to be escorted off the premises because I was shocked, and also I was not wearing pants. I was pants adjacent, you might say, but... we make ridiculous purchases. We buy shit nobody in their right motherfucking mind would ever buy. We do what nobody would ever do. Because we have Instagram pages, as I said before. I was listening to a thing on the Wright brothers. And it was like a podcast that kind of detailed their experiments, all the shit they did to invent, planes? Who the fuck thinks of this? Why would you, like what, walking's not good enough for you? You driving's too slow? Got somewhere to be, hot shot? Yeah, I guess so. And good for that. See, because that's what let's say I was the Wright brothers' slave, you know what I mean? In their printing press or whatever the fuck they did. And I was there and I was like the security dog. Like they just had me chained outside and I would make noises if I heard anything. Cause that's like that's the extent of my qualifications, to be honest with you. But if I was there and then I just saw them packing up and designing planes and engines and moon stars, quasars, and all this. I'd be like, what? I'd be like, you guys are dumb. You guys, look, I got 2 feet. They take me where I need to be. Now, why, oh, why would you want to go into that blue thing called the sky? You guys are nuts. You're stupid. This is never going to work. You're idiots. You're going to die. You're going to have a really, really, really hard idea, and then your head's going to twist off. Like happens to me all the time. And then, of course, they went and they fucking did something amazing. They crashed a bunch of times, but, you know, that's okay. Look at them now. Well, I mean, they're both dead, but you see what I'm saying. We go places because they're there. We climb mountains. We build things. We fly in skies. We imitate the birds and the angels. If you're the Wright brothers. If you're Dave, you buy a $200 Xbox controller. I will let you be the judge on which idea has more vision, is more weighty, if you will. I didn't want to get into this. I really didn't. But remember a couple of episodes ago, maybe it was 3 or 4, I don't remember. A couple of episodes ago when I was talking about that like Xbox Elite 2, whatever the fuck, controller, and it was like $180-something. I got it like the day after that podcast. I folded like a lawn chair, and I couldn't, like, well, okay. All right. Maybe I didn't go down that easy, but I went down pretty easy. I made a little pact with myself. All right. Because I'm a child and I can't wait for anything. So I thought to myself, you know what? This is a ridiculous purchase. And then my inner Dave said, well, yeah, we do that all the time. What's the problem? What? How much is this? $200? Like, we've lost more money than that in a stripper's bra. Like, what's the deal? $200? That's nothing. Let's go do it. We spend more on Halloween candy, for fuck's sake. And I'm like, yeah, I know. But I really don't need it. And, you know, I suck at video games no matter what. It doesn't even matter. Why do I want this? And then interior Dave is like, well, who cares? You want it. Get it. We're fucking nuts, man. Don't you know? Haven't you heard? How long have you been here? So I thought about it, and I'm on Amazon. I'm looking, and I'm like, look, I was like, it's going to be like 2-day delivery. I'm not going to wait 2 days. We're to a point in my life where waiting 2 days is completely unacceptable. Like, if, so I made a pact with myself. I said, look, inner Dave, how about this? I will buy this controller when it is available for same day delivery, because I don't mind making absolutely motherfucking absurd purchases. That's kind of like my special move. That's my Ryu fireball, you know, is just making retarded ass decisions financially. Those were my conditions, because I don't mind spending a dumbass amount of money on a dumbass thing, but I'm certainly not going to wait for it. I'm sorry. Those are my conditions. So, I would check periodically, and then I went back, and it was next day. And you know, in the cartoons, when there's like a kid and he's going to the doctor, I doubt anybody's seen this besides me. This is like some old man shit. But whenever there's a cartoon and a kid was at a doctor, and he'd take that fucking weird backwards tomahawk looking thing, and he'd hit you on the knee. He'd hit the kid on the knee, and like the kid would instinctively like kick his foot or something. Do they still do that? Do they even know? Nobody knows. Doctors don't know anything. They don't know what the fuck they're talking about. They're like, what? Everybody else says this? Okay. Yeah. Then that's what we're doing. We're doing that too. What, your gallbladder exploded? Okay, I guess we're going to fucking shit. I mean, what do they do like in the other hospital? Give me that book. That. All right, sweet. Gotcha. All right. The moral of my story is I don't know what that device is called, but it seems to only have one use, to tap small children on the knee and make them kick their, I don't know. It's a nerve thing or something. I don't understand. But that reaction, that's what I'm going for. The tap the knee, the kick the foot thing. Immediately I pressed buy. Like immediately. There was no thought involved. It was pure instinct. I devolved into a motherfucking Tyrannosaurus for 2 seconds and was just like, look, meet, get it. Like click, clicky town. It was that fast. It was so fucking, like, you wouldn't, if you were sitting next to me, you wouldn't even see anything. You'd have to rewatch the footage slowed down, like when they do like a snake getting a mouse or something like that, like, and you got to slow it down to see it happen all the way. It was like that. I could not buy that fast enough. And I'm pretty delighted. I'm pretty delighted with myself and my purchase. And I know you're going to sit there, you're going to ask me, you're going to say, Dave, is a $200 Xbox controller worth it? No. Haven't you been paying any attention to anything I've been saying? Ever. There was no fucking way on earth. I was talking to somebody about this, and they asked me if it was worth it. And I said, of course not. It wouldn't be worth $200. The only way a video game controller would be $200, would be worth $200, is if it had a suckable mouth attachment. That's the only reason. That's the only feasible excuse for paying $200 for an Xbox controller. And, you know, believe me, I looked. All right, I've been browsing. Much to my chagrin. The Xbox sexual toy periphery market, a little lacking. Let's just say. TurboGrafx-16 had way more sexual periphery toys. Peripherals? I don't know. I'm in a mood to use that word. But the controller is a fucking controller. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's nice. It's got a pretty good weight to it. I was actually expecting it to be heavier. I don't know why. I just expected like this fucking brick. You know what I mean? But it's got a nice kind of heft to it. It's like, it's got like a suede feel to it. Ooh, it's nice. Like it does like feel really nice in a texture sense. You know, it's a bougie controller. I mean, that's it. That's all. It's got some modes. You could like adjust the sensitivity of the triggers so I can die in Halo at the same exact clip that I like. It's not going to. There is nothing on this controller that's going to make me a better player in any game. And I doubt, even if you are super, super good at this shit, is it really? Look, we all know this isn't going to help you. Even if you make money playing fucking video games, is it really a make or break thing? Like, I don't know. Let's use the wizard, because it's an example I'm comfortable with because it's 30 years old. You know, the wizard was that movie with Fred Savage and his retarded brother or whatever, and he was real good at Metroid or something. I don't know. He was real good at video games. So like Fred Savage is taking him to California to compete in like a video game competition, right? So they go across country and they just hawk fucking Nintendo products. It's literally an hour and a half Nintendo commercial. And Fred Savage bothers me. Like I shouldn't this. I know it's wrong to hate a child. I mean, he's not a child. He's, you know, but when Fred Savage, I've said this so many times, but I can't not mention Fred Savage and avoid this. When Fred Savage talks, his hairline moves. I want Mr. Wizard and Dr. Fad to get together and explain this to me. Because it's physically daunting to my eyeballs, is what I'm going to say. So anyway, Controller Town. What? The Wizard. Yeah, okay. So let's say you're the Wizard. All right, and you're playing, you're in a big tournament or whatever for all the marbles, and they introduce Super Mario Brothers. I think it was 3, the one where you turn into a raccoon or some, you know, fucking dumb furry shit like that. Yeah, I never had Nintendo. I'm very bitter, okay? I would watch that movie. I would fucking fume. I was like, this fucking Altered Beast is better than that shit. These guys obviously never played Street Smarts before. Huh. What, no Cyber Ball? On this Nintendo Entertainment? Ooh! And then I would just start bawling. Like, just start crying. Lip quiver. The works. But anyway, even the Wizard, if you gave him a $200 controller, well, I mean, he was retarded, so he'd probably put it in his mouth or something. But after you slapped it out of his hand, it's not going to help him do any better, right? Even if you're like a super, super pro video game player and you make money doing this, I really, really doubt it's going to help you to the point that the expenditure is worth it. But that's not what it's for. A $200 video game controller, I don't care what the fuck it does. The only reason it exists is so you can be Billy fucking Badass and pull that bitch out and wow people and get a bunch of dork pussy, I guess. I don't know. But like, all right, this is why I got it anyway, because I'm petty. And if I can't be good at video games, I'm going to look good sucking. It's like absurdist art. Every time I play my gorgeous, beautiful Xbox Series X, it's performance art. I'm making a comment on the absurdity of life, because here I am, Dave, dying in Halo Infinite over and over and over and over and getting so... Let me tell you something, guys. I play video games like a child. Like if you sat beside me and you watched me play, it's disgusting. Like, it's gross. And I know every time I play video, I think like, man, I'm 42 years old. I should be a better person than this. I should be a more mature human than this. But here's my impression of me playing video games, all right? I'm sitting there, and I'm sucking it up big time, all right? I don't know what button does what. I'm dying. I'm driving in circles. I'm flipping I'm flipping warthogs all the fucking time. Like, I can't drive in a straight line without flipping this thing 8 times, like Master Chief has had 3 six-packs before getting in. All right. And I'm going, here's me. Oh yeah, I meant to do that. Yeah, right. Oh yeah. Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, I meant that. Right. That's exactly what I wanted to do. Yeah, I pressed that button. Right. Hello? God. Oh yeah. Okay. Here we go. Wow. Fun game. Real fun game. Oh, this game's a lot of fun. Oh my God, this is great. That's me for 6 hours. That's the, those are my greatest hits. Just play that on a loop and that is me playing. And also add like little button clicks. That's me. That's all you hear. And Master Chief screams, I guess. It's hideous. And the fact that I am being so bad at every single game I play ridiculously bad, childish, like I am being dad level bad at any video game I put in there. And the fact that I'm doing it on a $200 controller is hysterical. It is absurdism at its absolute finest. And that, my friends, that, my dears, is my specialty. Atomic Disaster Theater, episode 148. How are you? You doing good? It's fucking September, baby. September sun flowing now, I don't know the words. Now keep in mind, son, she was. Cool song. Very cool song, September Sun, but a little too long. Well, way too long. Much too long. And the video is laughably bad. Don't watch the music video. Super corny. But it's a cool song. I like it. Approved. Approved. Oh, you know what? Okay, real quick. While we're on the topic of September, my God, man. Typo negative, dead again. What a way to go out. Super good. Love so much stuff on there. Anyway, speaking of loving stuff, with all my cabeza and my heartbeats, sitting directly to my left, looking succotashically Septemberish, looking fatally fall, he is the man of the hour, the tower of power. He'll devour toddlers. He is the one, the only, the immortal Count Dracula. What it is, Count, what it is and what it will be, the floor is yours. Sweep it. Good evening. It's very good to be here today, Dave. I have a small request, if you'd be so good. Oh, God. Right off the bat, you're asking me for favors, Count? That doesn't bode well. Doesn't bode well for your employment history. Well, it's about my health, actually. All right, this seems pretty serious. What does it count? Well, I would appreciate it if you would stop talking about that thing. Pardon? The song that you mentioned.
September Sun.
No, yeah. That thing. I don't like it. And every time you mention it, it frightens me.
Count, you're serious, aren't you?
Certainly.
All right, look. I will try my best. Normally I would slap you in your face, in your bony, crusty face, for daring to ask me for something. Especially right off the bat. That's just bad form. That's highly irregular, Count. But as a fellow creature of the evening, a lady of the night, you might say, I understand your propensity for avoiding the rays of a certain celestial body that shall not be named. So I will ixnay on the unlight, say, for the foreseeable future.
Thank you.
Very good. You're looking good today. You look good, terrified. It brings out your beady blood red eyes.
Oh, thanks, Dave. I wanted to come correct this episode because it is September, that much closer to our precious fall.
Yes, That is a very good point count. But we must not be overconfident. Because you know what remember what I said when it became August, when it turned August, I don't know the proper word to use, but when August was born of this year, I said prophetically that summer's a tricky foe, a tricky adversary, and it don't go down easy. So I was pretty sure that even though it was already August, that summer was going to have a few last gasps and, you know, go out swinging, right? It's always like, you know, August, typically super, super hot, super gross. And then kind of going into September, it can still get a little gross every now and again. You think like, oh, September, we're out of the woods. And summer goes, and it'll give you a couple of scorchers here or there. And to be fair, August was gorgeous here in the great state of Indiana. Well, at least in Indianapolis, anyway. It was super nice. I don't recall it ever hitting triple digits here in the month of August or all summer. I don't know, but I don't go outside much. So I guess that's fine. But you know, it was like, oh man, there were so many days where like the high was 80, you know, and then in the morning it would be super like crisp and kind of fall like out there. So I was very, very suspicious because summer's tricky, right? And sure enough, it got me. It got me with one of its stealth sneak attacks because summer's a tricky lady, right? There's old man winter. And fucking dumb broad summer, I guess. And I thought that winter would strike with its most favorite weapon. The celestial body in the sky that shall not be named. But it didn't do that. Count, as you can clearly see, I wear the scars of summer's vengeance on my beautiful porcelain flesh. I was walking home the other day and I got bit by a mosquito on my head. I don't know if I have to explain to all the humanoids out there just how embarrassing and demoralizing it is to get a mosquito bite on your head for a bald man. I mean, I would assume it would be pretty gross for a bald lady too, but you know, I'll play the odds. All my bald brothers out there know that these bitches have no mercy. All right. And like when I first started itching, I was like, oh man, I think I got bit by a mosquito on my head, right on the side of my dome. And I look like Sloth from Goonies so hard. It's just like you, every time I see myself, I mean, it's bad. It's hard enough for a man like me with abs like this to walk past the mirror and not stop and just be entranced with what I see. And then to see this giant tumorous wound on my beautiful smooth head. It's like painting a goddamn birthday hat on the Mona Lisa. So you got me, Summer. All right. You sent one of your fucking, you put a hit out on me. Summer was like, Dave thinks that a little heat and humidity is all I got in my arsenal, huh? So it called in its mosquito in a tux,
you know, with like black leather gloves on, carrying a suitcase. And then it slid a picture, a Polaroid of me across a table, and the mosquito just looked at it and wordlessly nodded and buzzed the fuck off and sucked my brains out. Do you know how many gallons of pussy juice this mosquito bite is costing me right now? It's got to be in the double digits. At least 3D12 gallons.
Right, Dave. Right.
Do you have a question for me, Count? I'm a little bummed out. I feel lopsided, you know? A lot of weight on the right side of my head because all my blood is gone. And I'm all sloughed out. So I need you to tell. I need you to ask me a question to take my mind off of all these things.
It's time for Ask Dave. Where I, Count Dracula, get to ask you, Dave. Any one question that you must answer completely and totally honestly.
I'm ready.
Dave, there is a lot of dork shit that you like out now. Have you seen the new Game of Thrones spin-off or the Lord of the Rings one yet?
No. God, no. No, I hate Lord of the Rings real hard. I think it's stupid. And I love this shit. Like, I love, you know, dork crap, obviously. You know, wizards and goblins and ghoulies and whatever the fuck. I don't know. So yeah, I don't know what it is. It just does not vibe with me. The Game of Thrones thing, it's like, no, I have no interest. Like, I haven't heard anything one way or the other about this House of the Dragon thing. Didn't you ask me this already?
I don't know, man. I do my best. I'm old and my memory isn't what it used to be.
Well, at least you're honest. I can deal with, you know, age. We're both on the elderly gentleman side of life, you know? I'm kind of in my Larry from Three's Company phase, while you are, you know, Mr. Furley like a mofo, as the kids would say. You're Ralph Furley AF, as the children would say. Out there. But yeah, so the House of the Dragon thing, I don't give a fuck shit about this. It's stupid. It's dumb. I don't know if, I mean, maybe, I don't know if it's good or whatever. I haven't heard anything about it. I think with the Game of Thrones thing, it's kind of like, well, I think you kind of peed away all the interest with the kind of universally reviled way that the show ended. I haven't heard too many people stick up for that. So I'm assuming this isn't going to be a thing. Like, I would be kind of surprised if they did a season two, because I would imagine a show like this is really expensive and takes a lot of time and a lot of planning. And if people just kind of meh it, I wouldn't really expect a second season, but whatever. I mean, maybe it's good. I don't care. I don't care. The whole Game of Thrones thing, I think the interest in that, at least in this point in time, is kind of done, and people are on to something else. Question mark? I don't know. What's like the big show now?
The Wrestler?
No, like, what's the popular TV show that everybody's watching?
Small Wonder?
I wish!
But no. Yeah, I don't know. But no, I don't care at all about House of the Dragon. Dragons are stupid. They're overused and corny, and I think, you know, I think they're lame. But yeah, as for Lord of the Rings, never cared for it. I never read any of the books. I don't care to. I was dragged to go see the three Lord of the Rings. I think I saw them all. But I was taken, like, against my will. I did not wish to go. I was forced to go. And it just bored me to tears. I was not interested at all. I think there was one person I liked in the first movie, and he died immediately. So it's like, all right, man, this is not for, like, this movie doesn't want me to like it. This intellectual property is very, and it's very against me. So I will return the favor. Yeah.
Who did you like, Dave?
I don't know. The guy, the one guy with the long hair, I think they all had long hair, didn't they? Yeah. Okay. The guy who died, I think an orc cut off his head or something like that. Robert, I think his name was. Yeah. Robert from the first Lord of the Rings movie. Old Robbie. An orc, like, put a, they did the Captain America thing with the orc shield, and then they cut his, I don't know, they snapped his neck or whatever. I don't care. It was stupid. But I liked him because, like, he wanted to get the stupid dumbass ring to help his people. So he went bad, kinda, but not. I like people who do bad things for good reasons. Unlike us who do bad reasons. Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, Count. Unlike us who do bad things for fun reasons.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, no, I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of people are up in arms about it. And of course, you know, if you're against it, you're a racist or a sexist or, you know, whatever, just fucking the same fucking nonsense garbage that, you know, oh, you don't like this? Up, 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 here, here, here. Attack, attack, attack. No, I think it just sucks. How about that? I think what we're talking about just fucking sucks. Can it be that? Maybe it can be that. Can people do sucky things anymore? See, Count, I am an equal opportunity type of guy. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what you look like. I don't care where you like to put your mouth. Okay? Everybody from tippy top to bottom can do stupid shit. And that's it. So yeah, I heard it sucks. So what? You know, and now I thought it was kind of odd that both these shows are they competing, I guess? Like, cause I just thought it was kind of funny. To me, it looks like the same shit. I see a bunch of people with white hair. With long flowing white hair. It's the elves that don't, isn't this all the same shit? I don't know. I don't care. It means nothing to me. It means less than nothing to me. When I was 19, I tried to read The Hobbit. I was like, I don't care. I can't get into this. I can't do it. Yes. So I guess there's really no climax to this. I think Lord of the Rings is boring and dumb. And like when I know this might sound weird coming from me because I understand about getting like wrapped up in dorky stuff. I get it. I could sit here and I could wax retarded about the fake fucking history of Vampire the Masquerade and all that shit. I could sit here. I could bore you with the extinction of the Cappadocians and the rise of the Giovanni. I could do that all day. I could talk for hours about the Convention of Thorns and the impact it had on the modern undead society.
Preach on, brother man.
Whoa. All right, Count. Don't get excited. But I won't. I won't do that. I will spare you all of that. Because I understand that's dumbass shit. And if I sat here and I went on and on and on, nobody but me would care. And Count Dracula. Let's just say he's got some gray, mottled, crunkly skin in this game, this particular game. But when I hear people, like I heard, I was listening to somebody who was talking about it, and they were like it, even to me, and yes, I do understand the irony of me reacting this way. But he was like, they said that this takes place in the Second Age, but that's untrue because the people of Marnkarkapar, they killed the great dream dragon in the fields of Caprapius. And we all know that Caprapius was not in the Second Age. He was in the First Age, and it was mentioned in the Cerulean 40 years ago. Like, shut the fuck up, you dork. Ooh, like I was squirming in my seat like guys, this is coming from Dave. This shit isn't real. You realize that, right? Like the level the level of exactness in the history of this fictitious bullshit just seems ridiculous to me. And you know, here, let me, all right, I don't want to seem like I'm picking on Lord of the Rings people. I'm not. You're my people. You know, like if you play Lord of the Rings or if you like Lord of the Rings, you probably play D&D. We probably enjoy a lot of the same things, and we probably don't get a lot of sex, okay? So we have a lot in common. This is just a little fork in the road where I go the right way and you go the wrong way, but that's okay. We're all motorists here in the highway of life. So let me here. I'll give you an example that's not at all Lord of the, I don't want to seem like I'm picking on Lord of the Rings people, because I hate this with just about anything. All right. Fallout, for example. Like Fallout, what was it? Was it 4? Was it 30? Was it 76? I don't remember. But something with the Brotherhood of Steel. Where fucking Fallout dorks are like, but the Brotherhood of Steel was not even in this part of the United States of America at this time, because we all know that the Brotherhood of Steel originated in the New California Republic and that they migrated south to the Brotherhood. Like, oh, shut the fuck up. It's a fake game. Like, who cares? Who cares? Okay. All right, look. We had a little bit of a technical snafu there. Not my fault. So the power went out for like a second, which is super irritating, because if the power goes out for an extended time, then at least I'd feel better about it. Because if I'm in the middle of recording and everything shuts the fuck off, I'm going to need a little bit of time to cool down. But if it's just a little miniature, literally, you could go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then it would come on again. Yet, like, everything shut off and I lost what I was recording. It wasn't much. Thank goodness. It was only maybe about 5 minutes. But let me tell you, I mean, it was the funniest 5 minutes you'll ever hear in your life. I was charming. I was witty. I was urbane. I was brusque. I was stern but fair. In those 5 minutes, I laid down some truths that would shake you to the core of your nutsack. But it's gone. It's lost. And I mean, I could do it again. I'm filled with talent and Tic Tacs. But I don't want to give you leftover. You need to hear it raw. You need to hear it from the source. You know what I mean? So just rest assured, 5 minutes that were lost were fucking excellent. I mean, just completely excellent. But anyway, so now I'm leery, you know, to continue to proceed, because now I'm worried that the power's going to go off any second now. And things like this, it kind of demoralizes me. And a demoralized Dave is a sad thing to see, because I was feeling it, man. I was here. I was ready to, I was raring to go, right? And now I'm scared. I'm crestfallen. I'm bewildered. I'm confused. I'm hungry. I don't want to get too excited. And jump balls deep into the podcast and then have the power go out again. Because if I lose anything else, you know, God's already taken my hair. I have an enormous sloth mosquito bite on the side of my head. It's very difficult for me to keep my, you know, my neck hurts because my head's craned to the side. Because I have this throb, I look like the head. Anybody remember that? The old MTV cartoon, The Head? It was like a mini series or some shit? I don't remember. But okay, we're gonna press on. We're gonna keep going. We're gonna keep this fragging train moving. And if the power goes out again, I'm going to abandon life. I'm gonna abandon the ship of life. That's the deal I'm making with you right now. So anyway, I want to close with something maybe a little mixed. I don't know. In my life, it's so very rare that I'll get something new that I like new music, or a new show or whatever, something that really, really excites me, you know, one of those things that's like, ooh, I like this and it's new and, you know, that's cool. You know, because the older you get, well, the things you like die. I'll just say it bluntly. And, you know, not a lot of people making Bee Gees albums anymore. Just saying. It's just a fact. So when a band I like comes out with new material, it's really super exciting. And I am old and I am possessive. So I need to own shit. So I need physical copies of CDs. It's just how I am. So I would like to talk with you right now about Megadeth's latest offering, The Sick, The Dying, and The Dead. Now, before we start, I can't tell you enough how good it feels to get something new. Like, It takes me back. You know, like I was talking about the getting a new video game system and that feeling of like euphoric nostalgia, that excitement, you know, and it's the same thing when I got the CD and I had it in my hands and I was like, this is new music that I actually am excited to hear. I don't know what's going on in the music landscape. I think the last new quote unquote song that I heard that I liked was from like 2009, maybe. So, hey, let old man Dave have his fun. Right. Okay. Now I'm going to go through this album song by song by song, because I have listened to it probably like five times, from top to bottom. And I have some thoughts and I would like to share them with you. I was going to do a video about this, but,
you know, we're already talking, we're already chatting. Plus, you know, I thought of a pretty funny, well, it would make me laugh anyway, title for this, and it wouldn't make sense if I didn't talk about the album or not. So let's begin. Let's talk about the latest Megadeth CD. So we can't do this without stating some obvious things here. Dave Mustaine is 60 years old. Dave Mustaine is recovering. He had throat cancer. Okay. And his voice has been going for a long time. I think, I don't think you'll get many people who argue, even the super, 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 super diehard, you know, refuse to admit anything's kind of off with what they like, those type of people. I don't think you'll get many people who will say, no, his voice, there's nothing different, .. about his voice. Of course there is. His voice has been degrading for a few years now. And if you don't believe me, go look at a live thing. They just did a, this, and when I say just, I mean like 2 days ago. It was like an hour or something special. It was like a long interview mixed in with some like live performances, some like Eddie Trunk thing. Go on YouTube. You'll probably find it if you care. And man, he looks like he's in agony, quote unquote, singing these songs. It doesn't make me feel good to say this because obviously the guy's been through a lot. Jesus Christ. Like I get it. I know there are reasons. I understand. I really do. So I'm not interested in the, well, he's had this and this. Yeah, I know. But we can't do this properly without laying all cards on the table here. I'm not going to dance fucking around it. I am a truth teller. I am a troubadour and a commodore. So let's first let's start with the album art, which I fucking love. This has got to be. This is probably. Well, let me think. This is at least one of my favorite album covers of theirs, possibly my favorite. I really, really like United Abominations, the album cover for that. It's so different. It's so like, I don't know, comic book-esque, but not, I mean, not really, but I don't know, Vic with Skin. I like it. I don't know. I just always liked the United Abominations art. So, but this is great. I mean, this album cover. I'll probably end up like buying a shirt of this album cover just cause it's such a cool image. Like I went into this unfairly. I went into this album really, really unfairly to the point where I was like, look, man, I'm going to take every single fucking opportunity to like this. I'm going to like this, and if I listen to it and I don't like it, I'm going to listen to it again until I do. Because this album cover is so fucking cool. I have to like this. I must. Nothing can be this cool and then be followed up by me not liking it. Results may vary. So let's first off, right off the bat, awesome. Love the album cover. The title is a throwback to the old Megadeth albums. They had like a pattern, you know, like the .. and then ending with the exclamation point. Like they've done that a few times, you know. So far, so good, so what? Peace sells .. But who's buying? Killing is my business .. And business is good. So it's like kind of like a tradition. I like traditions. That's cool. And the sick, the dying, and the dead. Like, look, check this out. All right, look. This, since the last, I think, what, Dystopia came out like 6 years ago or something like that. So their last album was like 6 years ago. And since that time, let's just say a couple of big things have gone down in not only the world, but in Dave Mustaine's life. Now, so
Okay, so we had, you know, oh, I don't know, a plague. We had a worldwide plague. That's something. That's different. And Dave Mustaine also had throat cancer. So not great. Not a great few years, really. So when I heard that the album was going to be called The Sick, The Dying, and The Dead, I said to myself, Jesus Christ, this is going to be a heavy album. And I don't mean heavy like, I don't mean that. I mean heavy as in like subject matter, lyrical content. I mean like just, I don't want to say the coincidence, but you know, like the worldwide sickness, okay? And then the personal sickness, like Jesus, this is going to sound very cruel, but it's creative thought. Like if anything, you got stuff to talk about, right? Let's look on the bright side. You got a lot of subject matter here. And with a title like that, I thought, holy shit, he's going fucking in. Like this is going to be intense. And first song is the title track, The Sick, The Dying, and The Dead. Normally the first song is going to be awesome. I mean, obviously it's album 101, right? You want a front load and you want a back load. First song's got to be good. Last song's got to be good. Everybody does this. So I was like, okay, Megadeth has a super great track record, even on the albums that nobody likes for the most part. Like, you know, even fucking Super Collider, you know, Kingmaker is an awesome song. And that album is universally panned, you know, for the most part. Though I did hear somebody defend it, which was something. I disagree, but my friend, you got balls. You got balls. He did like he ranked all Megadeth albums, and Super Collider was like unforgivably high on the list. But hey, the man's got, I get it. I got you. But anyway, so I was like, okay, first song's going to be good. If everything else sucks, I know the first song's going to be quality. And I can't put my finger on it. I don't know what it is, but there is something about this song that is like a Wookiee cunt hair away from me liking it a lot. Like, it's okay. It's cool. It's good. I like it. I like the opening song, but I don't know why. There's like this little gap. It's just missing something. And I couldn't tell you what it is. It's sort of frustrating. I've listened to this song a lot. I've racked my brain. And like every single time it starts, I'm like, yeah, this is good. I like this. Wow, this is good. Yeah, this is good. And then it ends and I'm like, oh, there's something's not there. Something's not there. I keep going back to like, man, if somebody else sang this, it would probably be so much better. And that sucks. That's a rough feeling. But anyway, so it's good. It's good. It's a cool song. I like it. Thumbs up. We start off good, but I was a little wary because normally the first song is like very, very standout. And this is good. Don't get me wrong. But again, there's just that something missing. Song two is called Life in Hell. And, you know, I don't really like it. Okay. There's a theme in this album. Right. First of all, this bears particular mention. This bears very, very special mention. The drums. are out of this fucking world on this. I can't understand how somebody can do this with human limbs. It takes a lot for me to notice how good a drummer is. This guy's fucking nuts. And his name is Dirk Verburen. He's Belgian or something like that. I don't know. He's been in a ton of band. I don't know. He's probably very famous. But this is his first Megadeth album. And Jesus, he's tremendous. He's awesome. Now, I don't know anything about music, so I'm probably wrong on this. But does anybody else think the snare drums sound like the opposite of what Saint Anger drums sound like? It sounds weird. Not in that, you know, I'm hitting a bucket type way like that, but in the opposite direction, like a little too bassy on this. I can't explain it, but sometimes it just sounds off to me. I don't know. Maybe it's my headphones. Who knows? But his drumming is insane. It's fan-fucking-tastic. So much so that it stood out to an idiot like me, right? So let's get that out of the way right now. Awesome. And on a lot of these, here's what's sad and what's upsetting. A lot of these songs, even the songs that I think are not very good, there's parts in them musically that are so cool and that I like a lot, honestly. Like in Life and Hell, for example, for the first songs don't normally grow on me. Normally it's like right off the bat, I will know if I like something or not. I'm not the kind of person that if I listen to something a bunch of times, my opinions tend not to change for the most part. It happens. It doesn't happen. I can't think of a time my opinion has like changed on a song after hearing it a lot more. Normally my first impression is how it goes forever. So the first time I heard Life in Hell, I was like, well, this is kind of just, you know, paint by numbers, like whatever. Okay. Yes, it's fast. Yes, it's like a heavy song. Oh, yeah, okay. Right. But you know, like the lyrics suck. The vocal melody is just like I don't know, man. Look, when I hear people talk about Megadeth albums, it makes me a little mental because they'll talk about certain songs and be like, oh, this is such a great song. This is great. It's so heavy. It's so fast. And I'll be like, okay, I know what song you're talking about. And I don't like it because either the lyrics are just juvenile, stupid dumbness or like there's just no melody. It's like, okay, look, I get it. A song can be heavy and a song can be fast, but there's also like, I listen to music for songs. So there should be some kind of melody there, you know, like verse, chorus, verse, like that. That would be pretty cool. Maybe throw in a bridge here. That's not, you know, like a something you can, right? It just seems like a lot of people, if it's not super, super fast and if it's not super, super heavy, it just sucks automatically. I don't know. I don't listen to music that way. I don't really listen to like thrash music at all besides Megadeth. This is like, because I think there's a great balance when Megadeth is at their best, in my opinion, anyway. It's when they combine like this type of music with a good melody, good, you know, good vocals, good, at least acceptable lyrics. Look, Megadeth's going to be corny. You're talking about, you know, gremlins and goblins and ghoulies and shit. Of course, it's going to look at the album covers. You know what to expect, right? There's going to be that level of like, you know, whatever. All right, what devils are we summoning today? You know, like there's going to be that, of course. So I expect the flavor of a little bit of corny in the lyrics and stuff. I got you. But like we can do it right. We can do it right. And Life in Hell to me is just like, it's just forgettable.
You know, there's a really, but there's an awesome, again, see, frustrating, because the there's this part, I don't even think it's in the middle of the song, but where it kind of like it slows down and has this awesome fucking like break kind of in the middle. And it's so good for like a couple of seconds. That's like, I'm like, oh yeah, now this is getting good. And then it just goes right back to like, fuck. And yeah, it's fast. Yeah, it's hard, blah, blah, blah. But we can have, guys, we can have it all. We can have fast songs that are hard and that are, you know, super technical, great, you know, clever tempo changes and stuff. We can do all of that. We can also have it be a good song. How about that? No, it's just faster the better, as fast as it can go. Fuck the lyrics. The lyrics could just be the theme song to, you know, Happy Days and whatever the fuck. That's fine. It's good. It's faster, 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 harder. I don't understand. I don't understand this. So that's, you know, life and hell, you know, all right. I mean, whatever. Besides that little part in the middle, it's just kind of forgettable. Night Stalkers, same, also frustrating. Cause the end part fucking rules, you know, like the Ice-T is on this song, which is, you know, different. I mean, I bet you didn't think I was going to say that, right? Yeah, that Ice-T. And it's cool. He has a little part in it. And it's neat. Though, a little nitpick, though. I think, like, one of the lines he says is, like, he says, game over, bitches. Got you on my night vision. And I think that would probably be better turned around. Like, got you on my night vision. Game over, bitches. I don't know. I just think it would. That's a nitpick. Who am I to argue with Ice-T? But Night Stalkers. It's just like, it's kind of corny. And I fully expect corny from Megadeth, because a lot of, you know, it's a little corny, right? That's fine. That's fine with me. But it can still be good. It can still be corny good. And I don't think Night Stalkers is corny good. I think it's just kind of just goofy. Goofy and kind of corny. But again, there's that part towards the end and it rules and it's so good. And it's like this, it's like a hamburger, right? Imagine like this gorgeous, juicy hamburger. But the meat is like super, super thin. It's really, really good meat, but it's super, super thin. And the bread is made out of thumbtacks and lava. It's kind of how I feel about a lot of this stuff. There's good shit in there. And yes, the music is great. And yes, it's technically, see, like, I don't play instruments, right? I'm not a guitar player. I'm not a drummer. I'm not a whatever. So I can see why people are impressed with this on a technical level, because it's a Megadeth album. So of course, technically the music is going to be very good, right? Like what they're doing, I'm sure, is extremely difficult. And very impressive, all right? It sounds very complicated. But again, these are songs, right? Are we still doing the song thing? Just checking. Okay, moving on. So that's Night Stalkers, kind of silly. Dogs of Chernobyl. Dogs of Chernobyl starts off very, very cool. Again, I like the music. Then the vocals start, and I'm like, it's all right, but it could be really good. The music is really good. I like the way the beginning starts. I just like the sound of it. Songs about nuclear things. I don't know. Kind of close to my hearts, both of them. And that's neat. Cool. But again, the lyrics, the vocal melodies, it loses something. It loses something for me. And you know what? Every time I hear Dogs of Chernobyl, it just makes me want to go listen to Carnivore.
Like, you want some good fucking radioactive, you know, wasteland, end of the world music? Go listen to some Carnivore. It's good shit. But anyway, yeah, that's kind of all I can say about Dogs of Chernobyl. I don't know. It's like, it's okay. It's all right. It's all right. It's probably one of the better songs on this album. Moving on to Sacrifice, which just plain sucks. Like, it's just, it's just corny, forgettable, filler. Take your pick. It's just oof, Sacrifice. You know, the music here or there can get okay, but overall, it's like the poster boy for filler, I think. Moving on to the song called Junkie. Let me tell you, I know you might think that I'm saying this for comedic effect, which we all know doesn't exist on this program. What I'm about to say is the absolute 100% truth. I shit you not. This is Dave at his most honest. The first time I heard this album, I was walking to work and I put it on. And I was like, what a great night. Brand new Megadeth album. I'm going to take a nice stroll to work. I'm going to play this. It's going to be great. When Junkie came on, I exploded in laughter. I don't mean like a chuckle. I mean, LOL for reals. I laughed out loud. The bum in the shadows waiting to rape me was like, hey man, can you keep it down? Like, I'm trying to stalk you here. I was like, oh, I'm sorry, sir. You're right. I was rude. Please continue with your ignoble profession, kind sir. But I cracked up. Junkie is so fucking stupid. It's so laughably stupid. Like, at the end, where it's like, Junkie! Oh my God! It's the dumbest thing. It's so dumb. So laughably dumb. Okay, so we move on from that, thank Christ, to song 7, Psychopathy. It's not even worth talking about. It's like some music, and then like he reads. It's like a filler song, you know. It's a filler slash an introduction to the next song, kind of. So it doesn't really count. I can't even say it sucks, because it's not supposed to be a song. It's like a minute and 20 seconds of like some music, and Dave Mustaine, he's like reading something out of the, I don't know, fucking dictionary or whatever. I don't know. It's just a little doohickey. If I could compare it to something, it would be like on The World Needs a Hero, how Silent Scorn goes into Return to the Hangar. Like, it's kind of like an introduction to the next song. But I mean, I can't even really say that, because Silent Scorn fucking rules, and Psychopathy, you know, a little less so. But yeah, so I'm not, you can't even, what can you say? It's like, it's a minute, 20 seconds of whatever. Moving on to Killing Time, which again, just kind of forgettable. Just like same old, I don't know. Nothing really stood out to me with that. Just silly, just kind of corny, forgettable. I don't know. No, you know what? Not even corny, just forgettable. Plain forgettable. It's not even corny. It's just forgettable. Song 9, Soldier On. You know, it's all right. It's okay, I guess. There's a song there. There's a melody. I get it. There's a chorus. I like choruses. Call me crazy. Call me old fashioned. I like a song with a chorus. That's cool. Again, it's just kind of corny. It's just silly. and not the good kind. Like, we're going to get to the good kind of silly. Trust me, I'm going to fucking gush about the good kind of silly. I know it's hard because, like, everybody's kind of tuned differently. But I don't know. Soldier On, like, it's all right. It's all right, I guess. It's one of the better songs. But if I had a choice, there's a lot more I'd rather listen to from this band than Soldier On. Moving on to song 10 is a song called Celebutante, which is about, you know, YouTube celebrities, I guess. I don't know. Just, you know, fame celebrity in general. The fucking break in the middle is so corny. It's so, so groany. I won't even say cringy. It's groany. Like, oh, though there was a line in there I liked, a couple of lines. Cause, you know, gotta be positive when I hear something good, where it's like, all the right something, all the right trends, all the right knives in the backs of your friends, something like that. I was like, oh, that's a neat line. I like that. That's cool. Other than that, you know, again, just kind of forgettable stuff there. Now we move on to what I'm not kidding when I say this. You're gonna think I'm kidding, probably, if you've heard this album. I'm not kidding. I'm so dead serious. Song 11, I think, song 11 on this album is my favorite. Not only my favorite song on this album, it's my favorite Megadeth song in albums, like in a really long time. Song 11 is called Mission to Mars. And it's gloriously corny. Like, I'm saying that with all, like, that's a good thing. It's a good thing. Mission to Mars made me smile. I'm smiling just thinking about it. It's so good. It's like, Mission to Mars is like if Spelljammer had a national anthem. That's what Mission to Mars is. And it's a cool song. I really honestly think it's awesome. I think Mission to Mars is fucking fantastic. I love that song. I love how it starts. I love it. It sounds like everyone involved is having fun. And that goes a long way with me. It's spirited. It's spirited. And honestly, I don't think a lot of the stuff on this album sounds spirited. Yeah, like, again, the music is exquisite as technically, you know what I mean? Like, it's if you're a music person, in quotes, if you're a guitar player or whatever, or if you're into the technical aspects of the actual music and, like, lyrics don't matter to you, you're probably going to love this. The whole thing, the whole album, because it's very, very technically, on a technical level, it's awesome. You know what I mean? But again, I like songs, see? And to me, you can have a neat song, cool music, whatever the fuck, but if the words are awful and terrible, if the vocals are scratchy and strained sounding, and like, if I feel bad, if I feel guilty for making this person sing because they sound like they're suffering, it's going to hamper my enjoyment of the material, even if the music is awesome, if that makes any sense. So Mission to Mars, I love it. I think it rules. I'm not saying that ironically. It's by far my favorite song on this entire album and my favorite Megadeth song in Jesus. I like it better than anything on Dystopia. What was before Dystopia? Super Collider. I probably like it better than anything on Super Collider. I don't know about, I really like 13. I'll probably find something I like better. But anyway, I love the spirit. And yes, it is exactly, it's, if I could put it into, it's kind of like, it's like Megadeth's Space Odyssey. And Dave, like some of the lyrics are like, he actually says, I wanna be an astronaut. And I'm sitting there, I'm listening to it, and I'm like, fuck yeah, me too. Let's fucking do it. I immediately applied to NASA. They turned me down right away. They said they couldn't risk sending something so sexual into space. I could impregnate the gaseous ball that inhabits our skies, I meant.
Thank you.
No problem. Yeah, so Mission to Mars, I can't say enough good things about this. Mission to Mars is so, as soon as I shut this off, I'm gonna listen to Mission to Mars, because it makes me happy. It makes me happy. I think it's honestly a cool song. It's the best thing on here. I like it a great deal. And yeah. Hey, and oh, it's fast too sometimes. Huh? There's a part where it gets really, really fast and really, really heavy and really, really technical. But we can have a good song too. Ain't that something? Ain't that some shit right there? Guys, listen to me. Listen to your Uncle Dave. We can have it all. It's like when Count Dracula, and I might just tell you a little story from our personal life. When Count Dracula and I, we were wandering around, you know, and we were up on this hill. And down at the bottom of the hill, there were a bunch of cows. And Count Dracula says, "Hey, Dave, why don't we run down this hill and fuck one of those cows?" And I said, "Dracula, why don't we walk down the hill and fuck them all?" It's like that. It's just like that.
That never happened.
Yeah, just like that. Just like that. But anyway, and then we have the album closer coming in at song number 12. We'll Be Back. It's cool. I like We'll Be Back. Again, I can't help but think someone's forsaken you and me. And also, I can't help but think this would be a lot better if somebody else sang it. The chorus is, it's kind of got this, like, I don't know. It's like, we'll be back. It's like, it's kind of, I don't know. It's like toe tappingly kind of, it shouldn't fit. And it kind of doesn't. It's sort of just this, it's a weird kind of tempo really when you think about it, but it works with the song. It's cool. It's a good, yeah. We'll Be Back is cool. It's fine. But again, throughout the album, the vocals are a problem for me. Like it didn't used to sound to me anyway. Like I know, I think, well, when did this become? People say in 13, it became really noticeable. I don't recall thinking that. I mean, I know on like Millennium of the Blind, he sounded pretty hoarse at times, but I thought that was intentional. Like it didn't distract me. Now it's distracting me, and I can't not think there's this little hump, and most of the material just doesn't go over that hump, except for Mission to Mars, which launches over the hump into outer space. That's the same with We'll Be Back. Like,
I like it. It's pretty good. It's good. But. And that's how the album ends. I mean, on mine, I have two extra songs, two digital edition bonus tracks or whatever. So I bought the CD. So I have the physical CD, but I bought it from Amazon. So with Amazon, it's pretty cool because if you buy a physical CD, you can like download it too. So I have like the digital edition bonus tracks, even though they're not on the physical CD. There you go. So song 13 is, well, they're both covers. They're both cover songs. Song 13 is Police Truck, and Police Truck is so much fun. Like I listen to this and I'm like, why are we just now getting this kind of energy? Like why? So, cause at first I'm like, well, you know, I understand Dave Mustaine's been through a lot, you know, 60 years old plus, you know, how long has he been singing and screaming and shit? Of course that does a number on your voice. And you know, that was before the sickness and stuff like that. I gotcha. But Police Truck is a fucking blast. It sounds like everybody's having fun. It's a spirited little number. Love it. I love their cover of Police Truck. Really, really good. And the song 14, the second bonus track, digital edition, Dick Cheeseburger, whatever the fuck, is a cover of This Planet's on Fire by Sammy Hagar.
Oh, Dave. Sammy Hagar, he was my favorite Van Halen singer of all time.
Yeah, I know that, you fucking dork. So anyway, I think that Sammy Hagar, Sammy Homewrecker, seems like he seems like a wonderful man. Like, can you picture him being a dick? I can't. I picture him being a really, really considerate neighbor, perhaps. You know? Like, you go, I just picture walking outside and it's like a nice, nice day out. And he's like raking leaves or whatever. And he just sees you and like gives you a big thumbs up, you know? Big bright smile. And then I hiss at him and like retreat into the darkness. Like on his side of the street, it's all, you know, bright, like a bright cloudless day. And then on my side, it's like raining and there's like, you know, all the grass is dead and they're like crumpled up leaves. You know, there's a mosquito stuck to the side of my head, eating my mind. But he'd be a good neighbor. He'd be a very, very nice neighbor. Okay? I've always said that about him. He seems like a wonderful man. But I don't know. I've never really been a fan of his music or his singing or anything like that. But Jesus Christ. Again, this is so much fun. This Planet's on Fire is so much fun. Everybody sounds like they're having a ball. Sammy Hagar actually sings on it. It's just fun. This is just good time shit, man. Everybody seems like they're in good spirits. Where is this besides Mission to Mars? It's like they took all their spirit and fun, threw it on the bonus track covers, and then injected it into one song. And the rest of it is kind of come see, come saw, just kind of like, you know, whatever. Oh, what? I need to write lyrics for this? All right, hold on. Let me get my eighth grade journal out. And just, you know, work on something like that. I'll just update some of those themes that I got going. And again, like, I don't know, man. It probably sounds like this is worse than it is. But I don't know. The vocal quality starting to be distracting, in my opinion. And keep in mind, these are, you know, this is with all the magic of the studio. Like, I watched some of the live performances from that Eddie Trunk thing.
Like I saw them do We'll Be Back Live. And it was like the fuck, I can't even believe people can play music like that live. Like it was the exact same fucking thing. Like the music and everything like that. And the drummer looked like he was going to catch on fire because he was moving so quickly. It's incredible. But the singing, man, it's sad. And I hate saying that. I don't like coming on here and you know, talking like I love this band. This is great. You know, there's some cool stuff on here, some cool ideas, a lot of really good music. But you know, lyrically and, you know, the melodies of the songs, just not a lot that I liked, or that really, really stood out. Again, Mission to Mars. I don't know what happened. I like to think that they did Mission to Mars when all of them were having the absolute best day possible. And just magic happened. I love it. I love that song so much. But the rest of it, you know. Like, all right. So there are 12 songs. The Sick, the Dying, the title track is pretty good. I like it. Dogs of Chernobyl is like okay. Soldier On is, you know, all right. Mission to Mars is awesome, and We'll Be Back is pretty good too. So, you know, it's not all horrible, but it's just, there's just something missing. There's something missing, and it sucks because a lot of the stuff and a lot of the ideas are very good. And musically, it's like, I don't know if I've ever heard this good a musical presentation, if that makes sense. The drumming is fucking insane. It's just amazing. Like, is there any way I can get an instrumental version of this? I will pay handsomely for an instrumental version of this album. It's probably unbelievable. Probably the lyrics and the singing distracts from actually how good the music is, and just like the construction of the songs and stuff. But unfortunately, I like good songs, which normally include, you know, kind of catchy choruses and half decent lyrics. Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. I mean, I think I will say undoubtedly probably the best thing about this album is the cover. And I'm not saying that to like denigrate the music. I'm saying this for how much I fucking love that album. Oh my God, it's the best. It rules. It rules tremendously hard. So there you go. There you go, friends. There's my review. And actually, just between us. I was going to do this on YouTube. But I'm kind of scared. I wouldn't want to do it on YouTube because the comments would just, oh my God. I was like, yeah, you know what? Let me do another video. This is cool. It's so rare that I get to do like a music, you know, an album review for a new thing on YouTube. And then I was like, you know what, Dave? Don't do that. Let's not upset people. People might be upset, you know? So there's that. So I haven't heard any reviews for this album. I'm looking very much forward to hear things. I didn't want anybody else's like opinions to kind of creep in, you know, before I barfed all mine out. So I'm going to listen to some reviews, see what people think. It should be interesting. But you know what I was doing to kind of pump myself up for this album coming out. I was listening to a bunch of people do like a ranking Megadeth albums and stuff, which is so cool because I think it says a lot about the
the strength of a band that's been going on this. And I say band, but you know, it's just Dave Mustaine and a revolving cast of characters. And you know, David Ellefson, when he's not doing things, let's just say, but, it says a lot about a band where so many different people can react so differently to some of their albums. You know, like most people say that Super Collider is probably the worst. I agree. But you know, to hear like that one guy actually defend it and put it kind of ridiculously high on his list, I was like, wow, well, all right, cool. Like, good for you, man. You do that. And to see like everybody's kind of middle, because everybody, the top, you know, three or four Megadeth albums are pretty much consistent like through everybody's list. But that whole middle, you know what I mean? The whole middle and it's just cool to see where people kind of, what kind of turn people off, I guess. I don't know, because I was just going through these and I was like, somebody's got to say good things about The World Needs a Hero, like my favorite album. Nobody. I mean, it wasn't like super low on a lot of people's lists. It was kind of like mid level on a lot of ones that I saw. One guy had The World Needs a Hero. One guy had Super Collider above The World Needs a Hero, which was hysterical. And he was like, yeah, okay, so so let's see, we have, you know, what was he talking about? He was like, we have Losing My Senses, which is just awful, just total garbage. And I'm listening to it, and I'm like, I love that song. I fucking love that song. And then he was talking about Risk. And it was cool because a lot of the people gave Risk props. You know what I mean? And they said, look, it's not as bad as people say. It's like, it's really overhated and kind of, you know, underrated. Like, it got some prop, which is good. And I agree. 100% on Risk. I like half of Risk. Like that's good to me. Like, if you like half the songs on an album, that's pretty strong. I think that's pretty strong. And I remember one guy was like, he was talking about Risk and he was like, oh, and Breadline, like without question, the worst Megadeth song of all time. And I'm listening to it like, I fucking love it. I love Breadline. I love that song. So make what you will of my taste when it comes to this stuff. But yeah, there you go. The Sick, the Dying, and the Dead. And I guess that'll do it. For this episode, we went long because my power didn't go out again. So thank the electric company and the power grid of the good old USA. Thumbs up, question mark, dot, dot, dot.
Dave?
Yes, Count Dracula.
I'm sorry, buddy, that you don't like a lot of the stuff and the new CD you got.
No, don't be sorry, Count. I mean, look, no matter what, I'll always have Mission to Mars. Mission to Mars alone made all the other shit I don't like on this album worth it. So don't feel bad for me. I'm living it up over here. All right? I'm happy. I'm in a good mood. I like, you know, just, it's so rare that something that I like comes out that is new. Cause you know, when I like something, bands or video games or ideas or, you know, people, they die, you know? So, you know, it brought me back holding a new Megadeth CD. I remember, you know, just back in the ancient times when I would have to go to the store and like physically buy things and pick them up and look at them and stuff. And those were times, weren't they? I had hair. Those were hairy times. So it's fine. Don't worry about me, Count. Don't worry about me. But thank you. That's very sweet.
Yes. But I that was kind of like me buttering you up for the next part where I say, because I'm sorry, I can't let the show end without saying this, that I am at the same time disappointed and also not surprised and outraged that you paid $200 for a video game controller. Yeah? Yeah. Do you have anything you'd like to say?
No. I mean, I don't know what you want, what you're expecting, like an excuse or an apology or no, I'm not. I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry I bought it at all. See, this is an intimidation tool. It doesn't make you any better at video games. It's certainly not going to make me any better at video games. But, you know, in my head, I have the scene already played out in my mind. Okay? Like in my mind, people are playing Xbox Series X. And then I walk in the room, and then there's like a hush. Like, let's say they're having a tournament of some kind, you know? Let's say they're having like a Columns tournament or a Cyberball tournament, and I show up, and everybody kind of eyes me up and down like, who's this stranger? And then they all have their rinky-dink fucking shitty normal human controllers, you know? And I just kind of look at them playing, and I'm like, look at these guys. They have responsibilities and families. And then I whip out my fucking carrying case, unzip that son of a bitch, and I open that up, and I take out my $200 fucking black suede Air Jordan controller with the two little insect clit legs things in the back. And they're like, whoa, what is that? And I'm like, oh, this right here. This whole thing right here? Is this what you mean? And then I like hold the controller up to them and it blinds them with power. And then I'm like, this is the official, obviously, Microsoft Elite controller. Market price, about $200. And then their eyes just kind of go wide and they look at each other and they look down at their fucking shitty, crusty controllers. And then I just look at the TV and I'm like, I got next, boys. And they drop their controllers and run. Because no one would dare face me. Because who would? Why would you willingly fight with somebody in video game town who's stupid enough and crazy enough to buy a $200? Obviously, he's got to be Fred Savage's retarded brother in The Wizard. I kept wanting to say William Savage. I don't know why. I don't understand why. I completely blanked and was searching. I was loading Fred Savage's name. I was just hypnotized by his waggling eyebrows and his hairline that kept coming down like and touching his eyes. It bothered me. It still does, if I'm being honest.
You honestly believe that something like that could ever happen?
It's the only thing that keeps me going at this point, besides Mission to Mars.
I see. That says a lot about you, Dave, but it doesn't excuse your irresponsible fiscal behavior. I hope you know that.
I do. So I'm super tired, Count. So I'm going to go snuggle up next to my $200 controller. I'm going to pop on the mouth attachment that I made in my lab, and I'm going to see how well it works. And let's just say if it sucks, I won't be too disappointed, if you know what I'm saying.